Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we proudly present our spectacular show of podcast magic and imagination full of Disney wonder, news, and pop culture. It's the Main Street Electrical Podcast with Jen Novotny and David Dollar.
Hey, Jen.
Hey, Dave.
It's the Main Street Electrical Podcast. There you go. I like it. You're getting
just,
there.
I'm getting there. I'm training that voice.
I'm helping you work with that voice. I'm training you. I'm getting you in there, which is
good.
Oh,
yeah. Thanks for that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, my degree didn't do that.
You're welcome. What is your degree specifically? Like, what did you actually major in college?
And music education.
Music education.
Music education with a concentration in voice. And I had enough credits for a piano minor, but I didn't want to do the jury because the juries are a pain in the butt.
Right.
So I didn't do the jury.
Right. Understand. So, yeah. So where did you go to school? Remind me again. I should know this, but it's some like small college.
It's a small private college in the middle of nowhere, but it's, there's a large outlet mall nearby.
Okay.
But it's called Grove City. So Grove City College.
Grove City of the Amish. Yes. Got it.
Not of the Amish, but
Amish University. Their football team only plays in the day because they don't have lights at night.
We're the Wolverines.
So very cool. And obviously you're doing all the things that you went to school for by owning a travel agency. So
I mean, I did use my degree for quite some time.
True. Well, I mean, I worked in radio because I'm broadcast communications, which is radio and television.
Okay.
And I worked in there probably for 5 or 6 years in TV and radio. I was on the air doing radio stuff. I was in production for televisions and doing sales and things like that.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't want to say I got disenchanted, but I did work at a job at a particular station that, like, I'm like, yeah, this has kind of ruined me. I don't ever want to work in this media again. So, you know, Starbucks and then travel agency. And here we are. And here we are hosting a podcast. Jen,
how
did you Disney this week?
So this is actually fun. I planned an unexpected Disney trip for July.
Sometimes. Fun.
We're not expecting to go in July. I think we had talked about it a couple of weeks ago. When are you going again? I'm like, well, we had to cancel May because we're doing the Disney cruise. So the next planned one is not till October. Just kidding.
Yeah.
JK.
Yeah.
Now we're going in July because I'm going on the Utopia. There's going to be for the new Royal Caribbean ship, which happens to sail out of Port Canaveral. I mean, and it sails on a Monday. So
like,
what are you
going to
do for the weekend before? I mean, I guess since it's right there, I might as well just pre-night in Disney. We're staying at the Riviera.
Nice. Very nice. That's one of four that I haven't stayed in. Old Key West, Riviera, Bay Lake, and Beach Club. I've stayed at Yacht Club, but not Beach Club. And those are four that I have not spent one night in. And I'm really trying to figure out how to, because they're all deluxes and they're all pricey.
They are.
I really wish I could look back and say, you know, the All-Stars are the only ones I haven't been in yet, because I can knock those out, but not so much. But we'll get there. So Saturday, on the weekends, of course, and you know this, since we chat randomly during the week.
Right.
My kid and I, we do a Saturday afternoon run around. We go to the store. We go to Target, things like that. We go to a bookstore called Second and Charles, and it's books and it's music and it's CDs and just all kinds of pop culture stuff. Most of it's used. And so I'll go in there and spend $25 and I'll come out with like five Blu-rays and like a couple of CDs or whatever and stuff. But they have a poster section that I just kind of ran into. And of course, I'm renovating my office and kind of redoing
some things around,
and I'm finally putting things on the wall in our office. And I've got an incredible poster, framed poster of Bolt, the movie from 2008. I got that framed.
Yeah.
I have a Breakfast at Tiffany's framed poster. I've got something else framed. My Attack of the Clones Star Wars poster. I finally got it framed after like 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I stumbled across this. I'm sending this to you now, Messenger, and I'll have to post it on our webpage. Rogers the Musical movie poster. I saw it and I'm like, this is amazing. This is the cool. It was just randomly in the stack of posters, and it's like it's a one sheet and it's perfect size, and I'm like, $10, I'm buying this. And so now
that
I own
was
it Rogers
for like 3 months.
It doesn't matter. I'm hoping they bring it back, although I don't think they will, because I think we would have heard about it by now.
I think we would have already heard about it.
But how cool is this poster?
Really neat though.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. Yeah, my math skills are off, because I've got a wall that's about, I don't know how, I can't tell you how many feet wide it is.
Maybe I can't do
wide.
That.
I've got four posters that need to go up there. Obviously, I want them evenly spaced. So now I have to do the math of like, how many inches from the wall? How many inches do they need to be? how many inches from the top. Just because you don't want to get in there, and unless you purposely like make them completely off kilter or something, like it's a very apparent you did that. You don't want to look at it and be like, oh, that one's like 1 inch higher than the other. Oh, that's like.
Oh, no, listen, here's what you need. Oh, no. I'm going to save your life. It's like you can get a laser level. It's maybe $25.
Okay.
And it's battery operated and it sticks to the wall. And it gives you a nice straight laser line. That way, if you're really trying to line stuff up, because we have done that in a couple spots in our house. And sometimes we do them purposely askew.
I thought about hopping on Facebook and being like, hey, math scholars, I have this wall that's this big and I have four posters. Can you tell me where these need to go? Just see somebody with math. Because our agent Katie, her husband Ben is in math. Maybe he could help. I don't know.
Hey, he can help
you. He does math actuary, which... is really more, I mean, even saying that is above my pay grade. I don't even know.
I can't even tell you what that does.
I know
it's really smart math.
It sounds important though. It sounds really important.
It's probably very important.
It's all the news that's fit to print with David Ola and Jen Novotny.
Yeah, news.
Food and Wine Festival, Jen, is coming back as we knew it would, obviously.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah.
Obviously, as you might say. Food and Wine Festival is coming back. Now, it's a month shorter because over the past couple of years, obviously, at post-COVID, the darkest timeline, it has been, you know, what it felt like as soon as, you know, 30 minutes after the Flower and Garden ended, Food and Wine started, right? But now they've pulled it back to August 29th through November 23rd. Jen, first of all, how do you feel about the shorter days? Are you okay with that? Would you rather have it longer?
I mean, so, of course, I love Food and Wine. I always want there to be a festival. However, I think it's the right call.
I do, too.
Because it loses something if it's just perpetually there. It loses the specialness. And I do remember, like, okay, my favorite is the Canadian cheddar soup. You can't eat that when it's 100 degrees.
No. Same in August, like August 1st when it's like 94 and you're melting. You're like, oh, this is super,
I mean, even
so good.
August 29th might still be like hot, but that at least starts to feel more fall.
At least, because the Halloween stuff is up by then. Although who knows when the Halloween stuff will go up. Typically it goes up, I feel like, you know, July 5th.
Oh, like,
Halloween, whatever.
Oh, but, yeah, it depends on what their first party is, I guess.
True. And last year they had the parties all the way into early August. We haven't gotten the dates on those yet, which means that later on today they'll release the dates.
I was going to say, which means later on this week.
Josh is listening. He's like, go ahead. The show's out. Go ahead and put the dates out.
Yeah, go ahead.
But I'm wondering if they're going to kind of pull those dates back some. Although, that's a moneymaker. So they may just keep the dates.
I don't feel like they're going to change the Halloween party dates, but I do definitely see the reasoning behind switching Food and Wine. And I think that it's the right call.
I agree. I like the exclusivity of it. I mean, you got 3 months to go, and if you don't go, then you miss it.
Yeah.
It is one of those things where you need to be there. They're going to be bringing back the Eat to the Beat concert series, which is typically bands and artists that are a little past their popularity and that come in there. And instead of state fairs, they go to Epcot. We'll also be getting the scavenger hunt where you can purchase a map for Remy's Ratatouille Hide and Squeak. You can find a little chef all over the place and get some prizes for that. You'll get a meals fromage montage, which is when you try all the things, like five or six of the dishes or whatever. You get like a free something at the very end of it when you turn that in, or you can just, you know, buy it, I guess. So all the things are returning as far as we know. Of course, the Food and Wine stuff, and as you mentioned, the Canadian cheddar cheese soup will be back, as will be the steak, which I absolutely
You love the play.
I love steak so much. But here's my other theory too. I think that I do think they're gonna start doing that like pre-COVID, where they had it like late August through November. Also, Communicore Hall is opening at Epcot in June.
In June.
So
which
I'm
I will
wondering
see.
If they want to separate some of that. They don't want people spending all their time at World Showcase. They want people at Communicore Hall. Now, what is that? It's going to be like a festival area where Mickey and friends are going to be there for meet and greets. There'll be probably some kiosks for food and things like that, merch shops, things like that. But
which I'm looking forward to seeing in June.
I am too. Now, do you actually know fully what Communicore Hall is like when you walk in there? What exactly we're going to see?
You know, that's a great question. And I don't know that I could fully describe at this point. I feel like this is the one part of the renovation that was like, yes, it's going to be like a festival center, which, you know, I'm picturing like the old, where Body Wars was.
The Odyssey or the
Pavilion?
Or
Wonders of Life. Thank you. Because for a long time, they used Wonders of Life Pavilion as the festival center where you could walk up. They had all of the merch. They had different rooms for example, during Flower and Garden Taste. During, let me try that again. Blah! food and wine when they would do like some of the seminars, right? If you're doing pairings or tastings or, you know, cooking demonstrations or whatnot. I know one time I made like candy sushi, which was really, really fun. There was like a big area, open area for that. And so it was just a really, really neat location. Mm-hmm. I think, so in my head, part of me is picturing the new Communicore Hall to have something like that. But I, you know, regret to say that I don't necessarily know exactly what it's going to look like inside.
But it's, I'm wondering if it's going to be something like the Imagination Pavilion was, or what was the name of it? It was, I just had it in my head. Not Imagination Pavilion, but
Odyssey?
The
Odyssey.
No, not the Odyssey, the Interventions.
Oh, Interventions.
If it's going to have any like kind of throwbacks to some of that.
Where,
now, it, for those of you who don't know, and this was five or 6 years ago when they started closing Interventions, in its heyday, you could go in there and there was everything from a roller coaster ride simulator to a waste management sponsored booth. You could go in there and figure out how waste management worked.
Firefighting
there was a firefighting kind of little maze thing you went through. Mm-hmm. There was a little area you could go in and feel what it feels like to be in a tornado. Coming through. Yeah, so there's all kinds of little learning opportunities. It always seemed a little garish, a little kitschy, you know?
There was a paint thing too.
There was a paint thing. There was a lot of things that went through there through Interventions, and it was an educational part. And it was one of those, okay, Jen, it's 96 degrees outside. I just finished my cheddar cheese soup. I am so hot right now. Let's go to Interventions and find something to do.
It'd cool off.
You know, and as they started pulling some of those things down, I remember they put a meet and greet in there with Mickey.
They did.
And it was really just very standard, very basic. Tinkerbell's was in there for a while. Mm-hmm. They were just filling with whatever. And, you know, and so I'm looking forward to Communicore to having something permanent for some of these things.
Which is back to the original idea.
I don't know what they're going to do. I have no idea. I am looking forward to it, though. And again, I think having food and wine, I think they would eventually have done that anywhere. It's just three or four months. But I think they want to kind of give some separation to Communicore and food and wine.
And food and wine, which makes sense because it's, and you know, Flower and Garden is closing sooner. It's not going into early June. Yep. So it's going to allow that to open up. Mm-hmm. And get going before that happens. I'm excited to see it in June when I go down for, you know, Tiana's and this is part of it, like the culmination of the Epcot, which me seeing Epcot with no walls, I'll probably cry because, you know, that's my part.
I mean, I'll cry happiness and I'll have to walk around in a huge circle just to get from one place to the other. It's like,
yeah, exactly. I need to be right over there,
which is approximately 35 yards, but now I have to walk a half a mile over there. So
like I actually forget how fast it actually is to go from Soarin' to Test Track. It's actually not that bad. I mean,
yeah, it's just a straight walk, but all of a sudden it's not. And so it's
just had to skirt the fountain before. And so now it'll just be like
June 10th is when everything comes down, which will be exciting. Yes. Also exciting, Jen, this is gonna be exciting for you. Mm-hmm. Disney has now filed a permit for construction in the Imagination Pavilion. Now, let me go ahead and set this up. There's we mentioned last week, a lot of websites like to put up different things of this is what they're doing. We don't know exactly for sure. We like to assume, but we don't know. the permit is for quote unquote general construction. This is the same company they're working with. They also did the Trails Inn restaurant at Fort Wilderness, so they've worked with them before. The permit does not confirm or deny any specific work. General construction could mean minor maintenance or major updates to the ride. The permit expires actually November of 2025, so they have plenty of time to work on this. That doesn't mean they're going to start closing it soon and work on it for an year and a half. What it means is they filed it to do something. Now, let's go ahead and speculate a little bit. Let's go ahead and start some rumors here, Jen. Do you think this is finally they're seeing the call and they're like, you know what, we're gonna make some changes, or do you think it's just gonna be like they're gonna close it for 2 months and just upkeep and be done?
I hope so. I really hope that they've listened to my plea of getting it back to original Figgy, where Figgy is not a pest, where Figgy is a beloved sidekick character, like a main character in his own right.
Right.
I would love, 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 love to see the Dreamfinder come back. I understand that might not happen. I would love it. Also, if I could speculate, for a long time, and I think you and I talked about this, I think Inside Out could be a good fit in the imagine, you know, with Figment again. Yes. Figment has to be part of it,
right? And with Inside Out 2 coming up, you know, if it's that a big hit, which people think it's going to be because it looks fantastic, the trailer looks amazing. So here's my question for you on this, Jen, and follow me on this here, because when I say this, you're like, oh, you're fired, but follow me here.
Okay,
does Figment need a ride anymore? Could this ride be something completely different without Figment? Because, and I say this because I would say 10 years ago, Figment was a small part of the park, but not everywhere. Figment is now an Epcot icon. He's on the merch. He sponsors. Mm-hmm. He's in the main character in a lot of the festivals. You see him everywhere. He's got a meet and greet, mm-hmm. you know. I feel as if they could do something completely different with this imagination idea and not have Figment, and Figment still be just as much a part of Epcot. I'm not sure that he needs the ride. And I think that I'm wondering if Disney's now seeing, maybe we don't have to be tied to this Figment concept. We can actually do something different and Figment not be harmed at all by doing something different. I know you think Figment and imagination, but I feel like they could do a lot of things with Figment that doesn't have a ride. That makes
sense. I see where you're coming from with that. I don't know that I fully agree though, because mm-hmm. let's look at things like Pirates, where Johnny Depp was, you know, I know whatever right. happened there.
Right.
But they put him in the attraction mm-hmm. because that was, you know, keeping it there. You know, Mickey never had an attraction. Now he's got Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
Right.
I feel like they're going to need to keep some sort of a Figment present, because otherwise they're like, oh, wait, why is this? Like,
but I feel like Figment's going to have a presence. I don't, whether he has a ride or not, he will have a presence. He's too popular. People love him too much, especially with the character meet and greet out there now.
But just think in 10 years, if it's people who, you know, now there's no ride.
True.
So now there's no nostalgia. So, you know, other than people like, oh, that's just an old ride. I mean, like, let's even think Spike the Bee. Spike the Bee does not have a ride. So arguably, Spike the Bee has a presence in the park during Flower and Garden. But how many people actually know who Spike the Bee is?
Nobody knows who he is.
That's the problem. Like, he's not a beloved character, whereas Figment is. So right. I don't know that they really want to get rid of, even if he's like a cameo somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what's the bird's name in Mickey?
The orange bird or Chubby?
Chewy. Yeah.
Chubby.
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 Yes. Chubby.
So I was kind of thinking through that, though, because in what I understand, too, that they, when they redid the Journey to Imagination ride to the one that's, mm-hmm. that you love so much right now, they changed the track up. So
they
it
did.
Will be very hard to go back to the original version of. But I think it
they
might
did.
Be something like a test track where they're going to go to a new concept inspired by.
Yes, that very well could be.
Inspired by the original Journey into Imagination.
It couldn't be the original. They might have to shorten the original. I mean, and the track is still fairly large. It's not a super small track.
Right. So you're calling it the Figment is going to get a new ride. Got it. Okay, we got that down. Very cool.
Oh, I'm saying that. Listen, I would stick with that. That's my prediction.
Maybe. I would like to see it, but I would not be hurt if they decided to do something different with the attraction. Because that's a pretty good pavilion. Because, you know, again, I don't know that Figment needs the ride to be as popular as he is. And I don't think his popularity is going to go away anytime soon.
I don't either. But they, you know, they have a habit of having attractions with popular characters. So
true.
Having him, you know, like I said, having an Inside Out theme, mm-hmm. you could totally still get Figgy in there. 100% you could get Figgy in there.
Very true. So, skipping over to Hollywood Studios, May 1st, 2024. Did you realize this? It's the 35th anniversary of Hollywood Studios. That wasn't even one on my radar until I was looking and reading some stuff today.
I did know that, but I think I'd forgotten.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I guess because it's not a round number, but.
Right. Well, Animal Kingdom had their 26th a couple of days ago, you know, and so it's like, oh, Animal Kingdom Day, and the Epcot walls are coming down, and Magic Kingdom is Magic Kingdom. Oh, Hollywood Studios, 35 years. They're going to be releasing a brand new merchandise line. Of course they will. Youth apparel, collectibles, limited release pins. There will be a virtual queue for the store to go in on May 1st, which, of course, there's always virtual queues. But they're also going to be doing some presentation stuff there at Hollywood Studios. I think the stage where they have the Beauty and the Beast sing-along will be taken up that first morning with Hollywood Studios stuff. They're going to be doing some presentations and whatever because, you know, they're honoring 35 years.
Absolutely.
Opened on May 1st, 1980. Maybe we'll talk about Hollywood Studios a little bit next year or next week, actually. Also in Hollywood Studios, the Droid Depot and Savi's hand-built later. Now, have you ever built a lightsaber or built a droid?
My lightsaber over there. Yeah.
Nice. Our friend Derek Frank will be proud of you. Very proud of you. Is it all like pinky and got princess glitter on it and stuff? And
No, it's purple.
Of course it is. Well, I mean, Mace Windu's lightsaber is purple.
Exactly. I have the Mace
Legend
Windu
has
purple.
It. That when he was being casted, he was talking to George Lucas and about the prequels. They asked him about which lightsaber do you want, and he was like, "I want mine to be purple." So he has the only one as a purple lightsaber. He's with a purple lightsaber. So, kudos to him. So Droid Depot and Savi's hand-built lightsaber. Mm-hmm. Before you would reserve that, and you pay when you get there. Now it's prepaid. So for you guys out there who are wanting to reserve Droid Depot or Savi's hand-built laser, then. Keep saying laser. Lightsaber. Space laser. It's a space sword. That's what you... Have you ever gone through Walmart or Target and you have the cheap knockoff versions of these of a lightsaber and it says like space sword or something on it and you like
I've never had cause to do that.
We have those at our Walmart. Walk through the toy section. Okay. It's like $3. You know, space sword or space warrior space stick sword. Or something. And it's like, okay. Anyway, right. Prepaid. Smellifant. Do you know what that is, Smellifant? It's brand new over in Storybook Circus at Magic Kingdom. They have elephants now in Storybook Circus. And there's a scavenger hunt that you actually can go get little stickers for. Walk around and you smell things, basically, different stations and stuff. And it's
just some things I don't want to smell in Disney.
That's very true. You can be a sniff assistant. Whiff assistant. Now, I can understand smellifant. I get that. It kind of goes together. But whiff assistant.
That's a little hard. Stretch, but okay. I'll go with it.
But those are popping up now around Storybook Circus, where you actually can go and get your little map and get your little scavenger hunt thingy, and you can go and smell stuff and be a sniff assistant. I don't know what that means, but okay, sniff assistant.
Sure. Okay, great. I hope you don't have to sniff sweaty bodies because that.
Yeah, exactly. Final piece of news here: Victoria and Albert's Gin. You've been there before, I believe. It's a fast food restaurant, burgers and dogs.
Oh
and
my
stuff
gosh!
At, Grand Floridian. Tell me about your experience with Victoria Alberts. How long has it been since you've gone?
It has been a few years. It has been pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. Has been on our list to go back. Now we absolutely have to make it happen. But it is phenomenal. I have always said one of the top three meals of my life. Mm-hmm. And vying for number one, for sure. Multi-course meal. So you are talking literally every course from the amuse-bouche, right, to then you're going to go to, like an appetizer, like a salad course. You got the fish course. You got the pasta course. You got the main course. You got the cheese and the desserts, and you got the coffees, and it's got this crazy cool coffee maker, and you can do it with a wine pairing. There's a chef's table option. They do enforce dress code. Like, guys, you will wear a tie. Like, this is like bougie to the max. Absolutely amazing.
I have to put a tie on my Disney shirts. Got it. I can do that. So the reason we bring it up, of course, Victoria and Albert's is one of 9 restaurants in Florida to be given a Michelin star. The Michelin Guide has awarded its first ever star to a restaurant on Disney property, giving the honor to Victoria and Albert's, which is, of course, is a very upscale eatery in the Grand Floridian restaurant or Grand Floridian Resort. And it's an American contemporary restaurant, as you said. And so Michelin stars are a big deal. Now, this is the Michelin tire.
It's a big deal.
When I saw pictures, there was the big mascot there with the big, it looks like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man or everything, but he's there to award the star. The Michelin Guide, which is published by the Michelin Tire Company, started awarding stars in 1926. And there's like 30,000 establishments over 30 territories across 3 continents. Mm-hmm. This is the worldwide designation. I believe it's the first theme park restaurant to get
that would not surprise me.
I imagine prices will go up now because they're like, hey, we got a Michelin star. We can charge as much as we want. And guess what? Mm-hmm. Jen will pay it because Jen loves the food. I just can't bring myself to spend that much money on food. I can't.
Listen,
I mean, there's like it's a cost thing where I would be like, I could be doing this with this money. I just, you know.
But to me, food is part of the destination. Food is part of my enjoyment of something. I would, in a lot of cases, I would rather sit, have an amazing meal with, you know, the people I'm with and gorge myself for 3.5 hours. Like that is entertaining for me. Like that is, you know, something that I would very, very much be happy with.
Yes. And that's why we have a great podcast, is because you and I are different perspectives on things like this, because I'd be like, man, this dinner's $600. That's 1/5 of an annual pass. That's like four meals at a sci-fi restaurant and 2 Disney pins.
Well, it's just like on DCL, when I did Enchanté. I did it because I'm like, you know what?
Now, I would do that. That's a couple $100 per restaurant too, but I mean, I believe, right? For
upcharge for per 2 person.
People.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
But Victoria Albert's, of course, is sold out a lot because you have to get reservations for it, and it's not a very big establishment. Now, have you done the chef's table? They do have a chef's table, right? Where you can.
They do have a chef's table. Okay. I have not done the chef's table, but I have heard amazing things about the chef's table. I did. I was in the Queen Victoria room, I think.
Nice.
Last time. So
when you get in there again, take your mic. Set it up right there.
Oh,
Use your phone as a hotspot, and let's go ahead. You can do a live cut in. It'd be great. We can actually do a live segment with you. If you know, Kyla or Heather and I are doing the podcast, you can just call on in from.
Sure, that'll go really well at a Michelin star restaurant.
I mean, you know, you're paying the money. You should be like, hey, I'm paying this money, so I should be able to podcast to, and they probably will give you your meal free because you're giving the good promotion to the restaurant.
Yeah, somehow I don't know that that's what's going to happen.
So Victoria and Albert's may or may not be a bucket list item for me, but that's important because today, Jen, is National Bucket List Day.
I love it.
It's one of those kind of things you just look online, you're like, oh, it's a bucket list day.
Look
very
at
good.
That.
Now, do you have a bucket list of any kind? Whether it's travel, whether it's life, whether it's financial goals or anything, do you have a bucket list of any kind?
I do.
So yeah. What are a couple of things on your, maybe non-travel related? We'll get to travel in a minute, but are there any non-travel related things on your bucket list?
Non-travel related.
Or is everything centered around travel?
A lot of it's centered around travel. Mm-hmm. I mean, we would like to get Brady's student loans paid off at some point. That would be really nice.
That would be good. That would be good.
We're close.
Getting there. Yeah, I mean, mine centered around, most of mine centered around like personal accomplishments. Like there's a book that I want to write that I've kind of half written. I would love to see my name on a book.
Sure.
You know, whether anybody buys it or not ever, who cares? I just want to see my name on the front of a book to know that I've done something. You know, but yeah, a lot of mine are travel related as well. And so let's talk a little bit of travel bucket list. We're going to kind of go through a couple of categories here and just kind of talk about, talk about some of our bucket list items, like things that if we did these things, we could cross off a list going, that's awesome. And a bucket list item, of course, for those out there, I think for me personally, it'd be something that you don't get to do very often, something that's maybe rare, maybe something you look for a lot, or maybe it's an opportunity that you don't get very often to do. And it's like, wow, I did that. That's awesome. So Jen, let's talk of Disney. What would be a Disney bucket list item for you?
Disney bucket, like Disney very related. Specifically Disney related or Disney World, doesn't matter.
Well, let's say the theme parks, Disney World, Disneyland, overseas, whatever, Disney World, just the theme park related. We'll get to cruises in a minute.
Okay. I would actually like to do the VIP tour at Disneyland.
That'd be nice.
I've done one at World. I would love to do one at Land because I love Land. And though tours work a little bit differently out there. So I would, and I'll actually make your dining reservations for you, which is nice.
Nice.
So yeah, that's like kind of a minor one, but that's definitely on my bucket list as a VIP out that direction.
I think too that like, because they're smaller parks and they're right there together, I feel like you'd get more done in the VIP over out there than you would at Disney World because you have to change parks. And yes, they put you on a van, they take you from park to park, which is great. But when we did it, we had a large group of like 10, 12 people or whatever, or how many people, whatever the max is on the
show. 10, it's a max.
We had 20 because we had tour guides. So we went all together.
Then you could have 20.
And so we didn't get a ton of stuff done because so many people. I would love to be able to do a small group of 5 or 6 of my favorite people, you know, and do a small group and be able just to do zip, zip, zip. One of my bucket list items for Disney, though, is to do all 6 parks in one day.
Oh, my Start goodness. Out that would be Disney very,
World,
very tiring.
Do early morning entry. We talked about park challenges several episodes ago. Like what I consider to be a park is you go in, spend an hour there, knock out a ride or whatever. This would be different because you're on a time constraint. You have to go in, maybe spend 30 minutes there if you can do something small or whatever.
Maybe.
Just to have a presence there, park, get a flight, fly across, try to work it on a day when maybe they're open later, and take the Uber straight to Disneyland.
Yeah.
And you can zip to both parks. That would be so cool to be able to do that. And it's doable. And I know of people who have done
it. No, people have done it.
It's hard to do and everything has to work out just right. And it's one of those things you just have to have. Everything has to follow your way.
It does.
That would be something cool. Anything else Disney-wise that you would like? You know, I would love to try. Like spending a week at one night each, the All-Stars, you know, movies and music and like a three resort trip. I can
definitely,
see that.
Definitely not on my bucket list at all. But, eating at Victoria and Albert's again is on my bucket list.
I could see you at 93 years old. You're laying in your bed and, you know, time's slipping away and you know the end is near. You've lived a long, beautiful life and you grab the tablet and you're like, the last thing I have to do is I've lived my full life never staying in an All-Star. Cross it off and then you drift off into heaven. I could see that. That would be a perfect bucket list item for you.
Yeah.
I was never forced to stay there at any point.
Avoided.
I've never even seen sports. So, yeah, I can see that. My other one there is something that I've done before, which is the Parkeology Challenge. I want to do that again. We earn money for charity, and I would like to try to do the every ride in one day thing. It's gotten harder now because since we've done it, Tron has opened Yep, Guardians is open. There are no more fast passes. Now it's all Genie Plus. Rise of Resistance is we did that the first time. That was the first the major ride. But Remy has opened now. By the time I do
and there
it again,
was no individual lightning lane at that point for
no,
Rise.
There was, not.
Was there?
There was not.
You would have to wait.
You can only purchase two. I can only purchase two lightning lanes. So Tron and Guardians, which I have to. And we'd have to make sure we got both because it's one of those things where if you don't get it, then suddenly
you're done.
You're out. It's 7:02 in the morning and we're out. And so we've been kind of talking about the idea of maybe just doing as many as we can in one day, not trying to do all of them. I guess trying to do all of them, but knowing it'd be very, very impossible to do. But let's, you know, earn whatever. Yeah. So we'll get there. But that's been a bucket list item for me as well. So let's jump over to the cruises, Jen. Disney or otherwise, do you have a bucket list item on cruises, things you would love to do?
Oh my gosh, if I could stay in like the Funnel Suite or the Walt Suite on.
Yes. Oh, if I could see that, that would be amazing.
Oh, I've toured them and it's just. Honestly, just to stay concierge, which I've never stayed concierge Disney Cruise Line, and that would. Even just staying concierge in a regular concierge room would be amazing.
That would be cool. I mean, like I said, just to see it would be fantastic. I went on my first Royal Caribbean cruise last week or two weeks ago, whenever it was. It was the Freedom Class, which is the Freedom of the Seas.
Yes.
I kind of have an idea. I would love to go on a cruise on each of the classes at some point.
Freedom Class.
Because Royal Caribbean, for those without the know, there's like a handful of ships in each class. Everything from the Vision Class, the Radiance, Voyager, Freedom, Quantum, Oasis, now the Icon Class. And there's several ships under each. And just doing one out of each one would be fantastic. So, you know, Jen, if you ever want to send me on the Majesty of the Sea, which is like a tiny little boat compared to the Icon.
That's so old.
So it's very, very old, but I would love to do that. I would love to experience the different Royal Caribbean ships. I would also love to experience all, you know, the ships like Norwegian and Celebrity and things like that. But those are things. One, I guess, say reverse bucket list item that I got to do was Alaska last year.
Never thought
I could do Alaska. And we'll kind of talk about some of that, too. Reverse bucket item list is something you've done in your past going, you know what? Had I not done that, that would have been a bucket list item. Going to Alaska, bucket list item.
For sure.
We saw the Lumberjack Show. It was great. We saw, we might not see glaciers, but we saw like through the ports and stuff. We just, it was just really, really cool to, you know, wake up and walk to the top deck. And I'm like, Alaska, and it's cold. And so, you know, it was really, really cool. But I also got to go to Astoria, Oregon. And go on the movie tour and see the Goonies stuff, like where the Goonies took place. Where the Jeep, where the bullet hole.
So right up your alley.
Lay in the bed where the Fratellis laid in that cell before they broke out. I mean, just how it was cool. It was a cool thing to do. So I would love to do that with Royal Caribbean. I would love to just take some different cruises. And like you, I would love to stay in some of those bigger ones.
Yeah.
But for me, I would just like to go on more cruises. Now, I know that's hard to say. It's a bucket list item because you just go on more cruises. But
yeah,
doing more Royal Caribbean in the classes and stuff would be
sure.
Cool. Anything else? Now, you've done a lot, though, cruise-wise. I feel like you've done an awful lot cruise-wise. What are some of the things that you've done and experienced that you would look back on and say, you know what, that could have been a bucket list item?
Oh, the Rhine River cruise I did with Adventures by Disney was definitely that would have been on my bucket list. Had I not crossed it off. I still have the Seine River cruise and the Rhone on my bucket list as well. Both are French rivers.
Right.
And I would just, oh my gosh, I would love that. I would also say, well, coming up, I have the Mediterranean cruise on Disney Cruise Line. And that is one that would be on my bucket list as well.
But you get to do it, which is awesome.
Which I'm getting to do it. So yes, I'm going to cross off my bucket list of a Mediterranean cruise. Now, there's lots of different varieties of Mediterranean cruising, but it's checking off like the ones I really wanted to.
Do you have any more bodies of water that you would love to sail, whether it's the Amazon or the Nile or other rivers and stuff, or other ocean seas, whatever? Or is Mediterranean going to kind of sort of complete the overall list for you?
Well, you know what? At some point, I would not mind going to, because this is going to get into a land bucket list as well, but I would also see it around Fiji, Bora Bora, the Tahitian Islands, and then maybe over to like Australia, the South Pacific. Sailing the South Pacific would be amazing.
That would be
cool.
And
there are like some yacht companies that do that.
That was Brady's birthday gift a couple of years ago.
Well, it was supposed to be.
It was supposed to be. And then COVID happened and everything got
upended.
Oh, the house happened too. You bought
our house happened.
Yeah, you bought a house. Golden Oak, is that right there at Disney World?
Oh, yeah. No. No, but the money had to come from somewhere, and we needed the money for the house. So we decided, Brady's like, I'm going to postpone my Bora Bora bucket list trip for you know, a future birthday. We're going to get into our house and then we'll figure it out. So,
well, let's talk about worldwide. Let's talk about just overall travel, whether it's parks or cruises, and just kind of broaden the scope. For me, there's two places I want to put my feet on. One is Australia. I've always wanted to go to Australia. Just walk through this. I mean, I would love to see the city of Harbour House. I would love to walk
through. Oh, of course.
Perth and walk some of the cities and stuff. But I would love to just be in a Jeep and just seeing some of the outback and just walking through and just experiencing that. Now, I don't want to spend the night in the outback. I'm not a Crocodile Dundee. I don't want, because there are things, like, there's a lot of things in Australia that will kill you. I mean, like, I feel like the animals in Australia, they all want to kill you. And probably. So those are things that I have to be worried about. But I also, especially talking to our good friend Marcy about this, I want to go to Antarctica. How cool would it be to put my foot on Antarctica and say, you know what?
Yeah.
I've been to Antarctica. That's just
expedition cruising. Super cool.
So anywhere that you'd like to go that maybe you haven't been, or something you'd like to experience in a place you've been, you just haven't done it yet. Thoughts?
Yeah, this is one that, and Brady's hardcore looking at this one. He wants to do it, is the Orient Express, which is
nice.
The, you know, you've heard the Agatha Christie.
There was a murder there.
There was a murder there. but no, there is still an Orient Express that runs from Venice to, I'm going to mess it up. But I mean, I tell you what. This thing is amazing.
Right.
Like, just absolutely crazy, like luxurious. And, you know, it's like a specific, you know, like, there's dress codes. It's crazy. So that's, he really wants to do that, as would I. I very much would like to do that. So that's definitely on the list, as well as doing trains through the Swiss mountains.
Nice. That would be cool. I would love to see Switzerland. I would love to see Norway. I would love to see, my in-laws are going to a Norwegian cruise coming up in July through Viking. And just the ports they get to go to are fantastic. And going back to Alaska, I would love to go back to Alaska, because originally the cruise we were going to take in September was going to be an Alaskan cruise. And Juneau and several other places there.
Yeah.
It turned out it was a Pacific Northwest cruise. Now, I was getting to go as a special group. So I can't complain. I can't complain at all about what we did, which was awesome. But, you know, so we got to see British Columbia and, you know, Oregon, things like that. Yeah. But I would love to go back and see some of the Alaskan stuff and see the glaciers and see the icebergs and see just all of that would be really, really cool.
Be
so
amazing.
So yeah, there's a lot of travel things on my bucket list. Now, anything specific that you would like to do? Not just, I would like to go on this cruise or go on this trip or see this place. Anything like, when I go here, I want to do this. When I go here, I want to do that.
Oh, I mean, the answer is always eat.
of course.
I want to go to this place and I would like to eat all of their food. Well, I will say, I'm going to actually reverse bucket list this one. When I went to Hawaii, I got to swim with the manta rays, which I did not know wanted to do until I did it. And it was so flipping incredible. Like, sitting there and there is this ginormous, I mean, it's like a 12-foot wingspan manta ray. Mm-hmm. And your instruction is just be, and we were free floating. Okay. There are ones where you can hold onto boards. We were free floating. This manta ray, I have video of it, comes up and it like does like a belly flip. It was like 3 inches from me. That's how they're exploring their territory. It was just incredible. Really cool. It was really, really cool. So yeah, that would be something. You know, in Bora Bora, the very specific thing would be to stay in an over-the-water bungalow. Which, listen, I can do that at Sandals too. And Sandals is an amazing product and absolutely.
And Polynesian. And the bungalows at the park.
True.
A little different, but still.
A little different. Yeah, like I want to see the fish through the floor. That would be just really, really cool. And then in Europe, I would just want to see the Matterhorn. Just see it. And I'm about to cross off Pompeii.
That's really cool too.
Which I'm very excited.
So how many continents have you been on at this point? Australia you haven't done yet, and you haven't done Antarctica, obviously, but have you done Asia at all?
I have not done Asia. Okay. So I have not done
I feel like
three.
South Pacific, that would be close to, I mean, I kind of feel like that's Asia. That, I don't know if you can count quite count it as
Does
Asia,
it count?
But that's Asian.
It counts. I mean, like, depends on where that counts as, I guess.
Which is funny, because I've never been somebody who's like, I got to visit all the continents. I got to visit, if I ever go to Asia, great. If I don't, I'm not bothered by, or even Europe. I'm not like, I have to go to Europe.
Oh, I love
I would
Europe.
Love to go on the river cruises. I think that would be amazing.
Although technically Eurasia is a continent. It is the continent of Eurasia.
True. Sort of kind of true. Okay. Technicality. Stephanie went to Egypt, and it was one of those, for her, is a bucket list item she didn't know she had. She did some things and saw some things that was just incredible, that are lifetime memories for her, including going on a river cruise, which was pretty amazing. Going, you know, river cruises are fantastic. And I guess after your river cruise, we'll have to talk about that some, because, you know, not a lot of people know about river cruises, or they've seen the concept of a river cruise.
Yeah.
I would love to dive into that, about what that entails, what that looks like.
River cruising is amazing. Like,
so we'll talk more about that.
Yeah, at some point we'll have to tell everybody specifically about
that. We'll get there. And which is great, because as travel advisors, all of these things you're hearing about, and this show wasn't even a look what we could do for you, but honestly, we can make all this happen for you. We can put you in Antarctica. We can put you on these river cruises. Mm-hmm. We can put you in Australia and all these places. A lot of these places I recommend Adventures by Disney, but otherwise, you know, there's still lots of places we can do that are outside of Disney. All you gotta do is contact us at info@uponstartravel.com. Jen, where can we find you to find you on all your travels that are coming up?
Yeah, which I have a lot coming up, actually. Now I was just thinking I've got to be very good about keeping my stuff posted. Mm-hmm. You can find me at @uponastarjen or @jen_Novotny. Just in the next couple months, I have, in addition to Disney, which I've mentioned,
right?
I have Jamaica, I have Curacao, I have Dominican Republic.
Awesome.
Like I said, some cruises coming up this summer. So I just have a lot of travels.
Right. Very cool. I've got Jamaica coming up, which I'm excited about. And then Pittsburgh.
Yes.
I can do back to Pittsburgh, which I'm all excited about.
Hello,
that too.
Everybody's bucket list.
And my flight is not at 6 a.m. in the morning, which means I won't be stressed out at 4:45, because the TSA line is literally through the front door, where you start on the sidewalk outside.
Dude, it started being like that for me too
nightmare.
Recently. So it's so bad.
What the heck? Which means I will get there two and a half hours early this time.
Yeah.
And I'll walk right through TSA.
And that is correct.
Now I get to hang out at the gate for 2 hours before my flight.
Yeah.
That's coming up.
There's breakfast places.
You'll hear all about that coming up. Find me online at The Magic on a Dollar on Instagram. Find me on Facebook at Magic on a Dollar and Disney on a Dollar. Of course, follow our good friend Kyla, our sort of kind of third co-host who rotates through here sometimes. She's at DisneyGeek27. She's actually in the parks right now. You can follow her. And she's got a trip to Puerto Rico coming up, so you can follow her on that.
Yes.
Of course, the Moana mom, that's our quasi-producer, Heather. Follow her there. And she's got her trip to, she's got cruises coming up.
She does have cruises.
Various cruises. She loves Disney
cruise.
So Med Cruise. She's coming up. So all that's happening as well. And for me, for the summer, I'll just be kind of slumming it around here with the kid, doing Splash Adventure stuff. One bucket list item I'm hoping to do maybe this summer is to take my kid to Disney, father-son trip, just for a couple of days.
Aww.
To see how he does. We put him in a stroller, a red tech stroller, because just to kind of keep him, whatever. But I'm wondering how he's going to do over 2 days where he doesn't have a stroller. And we just, he and I just walking and doing stuff or whatever, and crossing my fingers. We'll see what happens. I don't know. But I'm looking like, I'm hoping that might happen this summer. We'll see.
That'd
I haven't
great.
Actually told Stephanie about it yet. I guess I should at some point. But you're like, where are you guys? Well, line for Small World, because Peter Pan was closed for right now. And you're where? That's a conversation we'll get to later. Anyway, Jen, thanks for being the best co-host ever. I'm Dave. Hey, don't forget to thank and travel with your Phoenician.
Thank you for listening to the Main Street Electrical Podcast. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at The MSE Podcast, or visit our website at themsepodcast.com. Be sure to subscribe, and may all your wishes come true.